This morning, we remember Madeline Perdue, the first wife of Frank Perdue, died at the age of 91 last month, surrounded by her family at her home in Salisbury. She met Frank Perdue when both were students at what was then Salisbury Teachers College, now Salisbury University, and she helped Frank build what has become the hallmark poultry business on the Eastern Shore. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush, and we want to welcome her son, Jim Perdue, who now heads up his father's business. Also, in addition, we have Missy McLaughlin, a friend of some 38 years, and Lewis Riley, an Eastern Shore fixture, as well as former Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Maryland and also served in the state legislature. I want to welcome you all. Jim, I want to first turn to you and describe what your mother was like as a person. She wasn't somebody who we saw a lot in the limelight, so we didn't get as much of a sense of her personality as perhaps Frank's. What was she like?
Well, she grew up on a farm, so she had a lot of values, like a strong work ethic, frugal, and because where I grew up was about 100 yards from the office, you know, my dad would spend 18 hours a day working at the office, so her job was raising four kids, and in addition to helping, you know, my grandfather and my father really build the business, because she was, you know, the payroll clerk, did the secretarial work, and then at night she was a janitor, she cleaned the office, so. But, you know, I think my sisters and I would agree that what we learned about frugality or work ethic came from her, because we really didn't see a whole lot of dad, you know, during those early years.
Now, I understand that when they got married, it was fairly Spartan. Tell me a little bit about that. I'm sure they told you about this. I mean, they sort of got married, went to the parsonage, and that was that. But tell me what about that?
Yeah, I guess maybe that was the sign of the times and the financial situation at the time. But I think they went down to Princess Anne and got married, and it wasn't a big deal. And immediately, of course, you know, Dad was already in the business a couple of years before that, and so they both went to work, you know, pretty quickly. And I know my grandfather really appreciated my mother because, you know, that he didn't have a daughter. Frank Perdue was his only child, but also she'd work as hard as any of the men, you know, at the operation there. So she gained his confidence pretty quickly.
My understanding is that she worked in a hatchery and even delivered baby chicks to the farm, local farmers. I mean, it sounds like pretty hands-on. I mean,
oh yeah, she was very hands-on. I remember as kids we used to travel with her to deliver, you know, baby chicks to the farms, and so she did everything anybody else did in the business at the time.
And Lewis, what's your sense about who she was and when you met her, what was that like? What was she like? Yeah,
I first met Madeline. I guess really I had the good fortune of being Jim and all the girls school bus driver at a very young age. In those days, I was in high school myself, and you know, my dad owned the bus, and I was one of the drivers. And I think every morning I got to see Madeline, and she would put the kids on the bus. And she was always a very busy person, and of course, I was very close to her, Mr. Arthur. And being a young farmer just getting started, they showed tremendous interest in me and the family. And having known the girls personally and watched them go to school, and even watching Jim go to school, and I must tell you, at one point when Jim started to school, Madeline used to have to come out when he was in the first grade because he kind of resisted. But she had the leadership role, and it wasn't long before he was one of our best students on the bus. But
the belt helped me get to the school bus.
But she was that was always something I'll always remember. But she was so personable, lady, and I got to know her over the years. She was involved in many activities over on the east side of the county, and she was really interested in not only the students in the schools where her children were attending, but she was interested in the community and what was going on, and always ready and available. And my wife and I in our younger years became poultry growers with the Perdue Company, and we had a very close contact with the family through that operation, and we still are, for that matter.
Missy, what about you? When did you meet her, and what was she like for you?
Well, Madeline was a friend of my mother's through golf. My mother played golf in Bethesda and came up to play in the Pepsi tournament that Madeline and several of her cronies began back in the 60s. And my mother came to play and then introduced me to Madeline Perdue, and she was, to me, the be-all and end-all. And then we joined a Green Hill Country Club, and I was this up-and-coming golfer, and Madeline would encourage me to play and get better and better. She was everything I wanted to be. She was competitive. She was a purist when it comes to golf. And she loved to celebrate golf and play wherever she wanted to play. We would all play during the summer. There were about 12 of us who would do a tour of the shore. And we would go to several places to play free on our golf cart and then stay someplace, have drinks and dinner after we've played golf. And, of course, we all played for money. There was no such thing as not playing for money. It wasn't much. It might be a dollar a round. And then whoever got the pot at the end of the day was terrific. Now, the one story I have to tell is back in the 90s, early 90s, Madeline always played on the golf team at Green Hill Country Club. And I was the new young pup on the team, so they made me captain because nobody else would do it or had already done it for many years. We were playing in the championship for the WPGA Southern Division. We were playing against Powerhouse Rehoboth. We were playing at Caroline Country Club, and there are 8 women on a team, and they call it different carts. Like, first cart were the best players, then second, third, and fourth cart. Madeline was playing with Janie Richardson, the wife of Vaughn Richardson, former lawyer in town. We needed for Madeline and Janie to win. So since I was team captain, I'd finished playing, and my partner and I came roaring around on the 18th green at Caroline Country Club, not knowing whether we had won or lost. It had to be this last team. They had to win by 1 point. And as Madeline and Janie walked off the team, Connie and I peered out from behind the bushes, and Madeline gave me a thumbs-up sign. So I knew that they had won, but we didn't know by how much. And when she got off the green, Connie and I went roaring up to find out what the score was. They had won by 1 point. Yes, and we beat the Powerhouse, first time ever. One other little golf story. I know we don't have long time. You never wanted to be in competition against Madeline from about 100 yards in on the golf course, because we could outdrive her, but from 100 yards in and on the putting surface, she was a demon. She had this little mallet head putter that she used in Florida. And if you're both on the green in 2 or 3, and she was putting, you might as well just walk off the green, because that little mallet head putter, she'd get that action going with it, and it would go in so many times, and you were left wondering what happened. Here's this woman who is 30 and 40 years older than I am, and she just killed me on the green, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Does that sound like your mom?
Yeah.
She was loving.
Very accurate.
Encouraging, competitive, a purist, and a dear friend. And I miss her. She was like a surrogate mother to me after my mom passed.
Now, she must have actually, you're talking about being an extraordinary golfer. I mean, I read, and you may tell me if this is true, but they said that she made 4 holes in one.
Yes, she did.
I mean, how does one do that? I mean, how did she do it?
She has a guardian angel on her shoulder, and she would bring it up every once in a while when we get to a par 3. Not in a bragging way, but I've never had one. And I've been playing since I was in my 30s. I've never had one. I wanted to be like Madeline with 4 of the little emblems on her necklace. She had the charms to prove it. So, yes, she had a hole in one. She had 4 of them.
She had numbers 1 with a hole in it.
Yes.
On a charm around her neck.
Yes.
And that was her favorite piece of jewelry, you know.
Jim, did you ever golf with her?
You know, she tried to get me started when I was 12 out at Green Hill, and I played on the team that summer, and whatever the groups were, I was the last of the last.
Fourth cart.
But, you know, I think between work and girls or something, that didn't work very long. So I never picked up the sport, you know.
Mm-hmm. So when growing up in the household, what was that like with Madeline? There's a story that maybe I illustrate. What was it like having her as a mother?
Well, she taught us what work was about. If we ever wanted to do something, that was fine, but we had chores to do, and you didn't budge until you got them all done, because she grew up on a farm. So, I mean, she had the whole idea of chores or something you do. And discipline, my dad, you know, was never home, so all he would do when he would travel was bring back gifts, you know. So that was my memory of him. I always had a very positive attitude about him, but she was the disciplinarian. So if we did something wrong, which we did, you know, the belt came out, and she was the one that, you know, we knew what was going to happen. So she had it was tough on her, I think, because she had to play all those roles without a lot of support, you know. And with four kids, I mean, I know now with three how challenging it was. I can imagine with four kids how challenging it was for her.
Does it, in terms of a certain nurturing quality, what was that like? Because, I mean, obviously you mentioned discipline, but obviously she obviously means a lot to you, and must be that she certainly encouraged you.
She was, you know, very encouraging, and she really loved family, and even to the end, I mean, Thanksgiving was her favorite holiday because everybody came together at Thanksgiving, and she would teach the great grandchildren how to make sweet potato biscuits from scratch, you know, how to pat oysters, you know, into oysters, fried oysters, and it was always her tradition. So, she taught us the value of family, and family get-togethers. You know, she would always have the picnic. She would organize all those things. And fun. I mean, she just really liked to have a lot of fun. She was always an athlete. So no matter what we did, whether it was water skiing in Ocean City, I mean, she was always very, very active also.
Lewis, what do you remember? What do you think a story that perhaps typifies the kind of personality that she had that was so engaging?
Well, I think she was one of the most encouraging people. Of course, agriculture was my life, and I started in the poultry industry very, very early. And I remember she and Mr. Arthur, we had this small house we had rented, and we started growing poultry with the Purdue's. And I remember Madeline was always interested in she got to know me, as I said earlier, through the school bus transportation. She knew I knew the kids well, and she kind of kept touch with the family very closely. But I remember one incident when we used to have the old-fashioned poultry auction, and the poultry was sold auction. And one day we happened to be the top grower, probably the only time in my life that we were ever the top grower. And they rang the bell, and it was always on the radio. It was right during Carol Long was the auctioneer. And of course, we were thrilled. A young couple had leased a small poultry house, and it finally, that was probably the only flock in our lifetime we'd done that. But anyway, I remember the next morning, right and early, there was a knock on the door. And my wife and I were having breakfast real early. It was Mr. Arthur. And Madeline had made this cake and sent to us as a young couple, being the top grower of the poultry industry that day, or the poultry auction that day. Those things you remember about. She was always interested in the family and how we did. And later in the years, my wife became an invalid, and we kept her at home for many, many years. And Madeline checked on us frequently. And I never saw her, I don't know, anywhere, but she didn't question, you know, how things were going. She was very kind to the community. Matter of fact, the last time I saw her, she was at a fundraiser for the new fire department over there, and was just thrilled to be there. She was a great community supporter, and she was always interested in family. And as Jim mentioned about the children, as I said, and knowing her in the early years, she really made she really interested in her children doing well. And outstanding mother, as well as just a great community person.
Missy, she seemed to be, I mean, not only was she interested in, obviously, in golfing, but, I mean, she was involved with all kinds of other activities. My understanding is that as a deep-sea angler, I mean, she hauled in a trophy-sized marlin. I mean, this wasn't just somebody who went out on the golf course and walked around. Some of these activities really seem pretty strenuous.
She was a basketball coach for some time, and at her service, I ran into some of her former players. They were thrilled to come back to pay homage to Madeline. I know she loved to fish. It did not interfere with golf. It was in addition to golf, that's for sure. But she loved to fish, and she loved her family. Jimmy's family lived next door to me for quite some time. And I remember one time she came over to take care of Chris, but Frank had taken him somewhere else.
To a movie.
To a movie. But no one had mentioned that. And Madeline was frantic looking for Chris because she was in charge. And you guys were away.
We were in Japan on business.
So you got a phone call.
Got a phone call in Japan that
Frank,
in the middle of a meeting.
That Chris was
missing.
And you're thousands of miles away. And when Frank finally brought him home, Madeline laid into him like he was one of her children. Don't you ever. This child is on my watch.
I remember that.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah. What was it when you were sitting in Japan and you sit at a meeting? What was your reaction? What transpired there?
Well, my wife was with me, so the first thing I did was call her because you know I knew she was going to be panicking.
Sure.
So, you know, she immediately was, we were arranging to come back, and thankfully we got the call that he was coming back from the movies with my dad. So,
oh, we were out in the car. Looking in the neighborhood, I went out on a bike. The police were called. We had people going all throughout the neighborhood, talking to neighbors. Have you seen Chris? Chris was just a young teenager at the time.
Oh, yeah.
He was probably 13, maybe?
Yeah.
12 or 13?
Mm-hmm.
And, it was Panic City. And then and a couple of the cigarettes came out at the time, I think. I'm sorry. Should I have said that?
I think he was a little sheepish when he...
Just a little.
Yeah.
She laid him out in lavender.
She could do that very well.
And how did your... we get some sense about how your dad responded to that sort of thing when they kind of got a little tension there? How did he handle that?
Well, see, he wouldn't even think about informing anybody.
Yes.
You know, it just wouldn't... it was kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess I should have called somebody probably, you know. And of course, she could be quite the... disciplinarian, I guess you'd say, for anybody.
Now, and obviously, as everyone knows, it was his first wife, but despite the fact that the marriage ended, this relationship seemed to continue on because she was at the business and had all these other things. What was that like? I mean,
I think as the years went on, actually, their relationship got much, much better. And we Dad used to go on have vacations for the family and. And I have to say, Mitzi, is a fantastic lady. And she and my mom got to be best of friends, and they'd go off shopping when we'd go on these vacations. So it actually turned out to be, I think she said one time, anybody can live with that man's all right with me. Because he could be difficult at times.
What was your dad like?
Well, he's focused on the business like a laser, and so that he wouldn't spend time on other things, and it was just that's just the way he was. So I think it's hard for somebody, I think, to and he's pretty tough on everybody, not only quality and the people who make it, but I think relationships, he has expectations, and he's probably not the easiest person to live with, I'm sure.
Lewis, did you find him that way?
Yes, very much so. Jim said he focused on the business. I got to tell you, at one time Frank was in the hospital at Johns Hopkins, and I happened to be there, my wife and I. For some reason, I dropped up to see him. And he said, Louis, he said, I had chicken today for dinner. And he said, it wasn't the best. And I asked where it came from. It came from Ohio. And he said, I called my salesperson today and said, he better check with that company. So he had the industry in mind. But he was, I think the thing I remember as being a young farmer and at the time that Frank and Mr. Arthur and Ms. Perdue were getting the company going, they were always interested in seeing the young farmer make it. I don't think during even my agricultural days with the state there was anything that went along with the youth in promoting agriculture that Frank wasn't a part of, because of course agriculture certainly meant a lot to his industry, but he was also a great promoter of seeing people succeed in the overall industry. And he did a lot for a lot of young farmers getting started.
You know, they used to have a picnic every year at the feed mill and have all the tables out there for every grower who grew chickens for us. And Mother organized it all. You know, it was Dad probably thought it was a good idea, but she's the one that really put it together. And I remember we used to hand out ice cream sandwiches at the end.
That's right.
You know, but that was just to make sure we understood who is the most important people, and it's the people growing the chickens that really are the people that were the foundation. So, but she always kind of got the job of executing the,
Did he get the glory? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, that's true. She was always behind the scenes. She was always behind the scenes, you know, never getting the limelight, you know, like she should have, really.
I mean, it seems to be, as I read it, a certain synergy between the two that they say. I think somebody described that she recognized your father's priorities, his strengths, and also his weaknesses. I mean, she kind of read him and then filled in. I mean, is that the sense you got about her?
Yeah, sure. I mean, she filled in where the areas like raising the kids or, you know, that he wasn't able to do because of his focus. She was very much that way.
Now, and Missy, it, in terms of what you saw of her, particularly after you know the marriage ended, but nonetheless, she seemed to still like get out and about. Was she always out and about, even when they were married, or did that change at all? What was that like? Was there any change at all, or was it just, or did they grow closer? Did you get a sense that they grew closer?
That was something that she kept separate from the golf course. The golf course was like Frank with the business, when she was on the golf course and she was competing, or she was always competing, even if we're playing for fun, she was always wanting to do her best. So she was pretty laser focused on on the golf at hand. And when we would go on trips, the girls, the tour of the shore, it was just about golf and whose game was on and whose wasn't. She would encourage us young pups. At the time, not so much anymore, but she would encourage anybody to play and just wanted them to do their best. So as far as the relationship with Frank went, I don't remember that coming up that much. It was mostly just, well, how did you hit your 9-iron? Well, how come you shanked that? Or I shanked this, and let's fix this the next time. And it was all about celebrating and the joy of the game at hand. And that's kind of what I saw when we played either against or with each other. I've played against her.
That tough, playing against her?
Well, because she was my idol at the time and sort of my surrogate mother. And when she was still competitive, it was tough to play against her, but of course I wanted to beat her. and she would have been disappointed if I didn't. The one round I do remember, we were sort of neck and neck until it came to the 11th hole, which is a par 3. And her, I don't know how this happened, but it must have been divine intervention because it put me over the edge and made me able to win the match. Her drive hit a sprinkler head and went sailing out of bounds. Now, I could have given her a do-over, but I didn't. So I was able to win the hole, and I wasn't that ashamed about it. I think back, and I probably should have, but I didn't, because we were both competing. I don't think she would have given me a do-over. Would you think, Jimmy?
No. Competitive.
Yes. So it was the golf at hand. That's what she focused on.
By the way, I must have asked you, Jim. Frank is known for the ad about taking a tough man to make a tender chicken. Where did it come from, by the way? And what was your mother's reaction to this? I mean, was it, whose idea was this? You have any idea?
The ad agency that he picked in New York in 1971 was Scally McCabe and Slows, and Ed McCabe was the copywriter. And Ed came up, he followed Dad around and you know, figured out that this guy's a pretty tough guy. So he's the one that came up with the that ad. And in fact, Ed's about 77 years old, and he came in last night just by coincidence on his way to Florida, and we had dinner last night where he was reminiscing of some of the stories, both about Mother and Dad.
So, what did he tell you? Anything?
I can't tell you.
Oh, I see.
Not on the air.
Not on the air. Okay. What was her reaction? Did she think that was the right ad for him, or did she? I don't know whether you
Well, you know, I mean, Mother's an Eastern Shore gal, just like Dad was.
Yeah.
But you know, when Dad went to New York, I think you know you start to think differently. And although he always enjoyed coming back to the shore, and I think she felt like probably he strayed away from, you know, just the roots. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, going to nice restaurants and that sort of thing was a little different, you know, from here on the shore. So, I think the whole growth of the company at that point, you know, was something that, you know, kind of went beyond anybody's, you know, thought process that it would go grow like it did. And once the brand was established and that sort of thing. So, I think that, but as the years went on, I think she appreciated it, and she always loved the company. She always was asking me about what's going on with the company. She'd always complain to me about the chickens are getting too big, you know, and she got one home and there were feathers on it, and I'd always tell her, well, call the hotline, and she'd say, no, I'm going to call you. And I said, well, you'll get more action calling the hotline, but I will definitely report it, you know. So she was a stickler, just like competitiveness in golf. She was a stickler on quality, the same as Dad was, very much so.
Now, you also mentioned that obviously she had philanthropic interests. I mean, obviously, we saw a lot of her actually here in Salisbury University. She was here for a number of ceremonies and such for buildings and foundations and so on. Start with you, Jim. Where did that come from, do you think, that philanthropic desire that, you know, she didn't have to do it?
No, I think you know, giving back to the community, I think she very much appreciated and loved the Eastern Shore. She grew up in Snow Hill, so she still supported a lot of philanthropic things down in Worcester County, the development center for disabled kids just built a new center down in Newark, and she was very much a sponsor of that, because again, I think especially that area she grew up in and she had an appreciation for. So I think just her roots here and you know, she wanted to spend money here in this area because it meant so much to her.
Finally, I wanted to ask you, Jim, my understanding is that you would go over almost every Saturday and with a cup of tea or whatever it is. Tell me about that. I mean, that's an unusual thing.
Well, it became a routine every Saturday morning. I'd get up and go over and bring her coffee, and she may drink it, she may not. I think she was just more interested in seeing everybody. You can't imagine how much she loved family. I mean, and it meant everything to her, to the point that back in 06, I think it was, she had a blockage in her heart, and the doctor Todd at the hospital told her, you're not going to live more than a day or so unless I replace that blockage. And she actually was thinking about not doing it, and which shocked Jan and I. And what got her over the top of saying let's do it was her. You know, there was one of her granddaughters was pregnant at the time. Don't you want to see the grandchild? You know, well, that kind of made the difference. So she said, yeah, maybe so. That's a good idea. So I went, shoo. And of course that turned out well. But, you know, one of the things she was a stickler for, anybody who got married in our family had to go in front of mother.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. All the males and females who were spouses, including my son-in-law, who was married, my daughter was married 3 years ago, he had to go in front of her. And before we went in front of her, I said, now look, Ben, have you ever played golf? And she said, or he said, yeah. And I said, well, good. She's going to ask you about golf. Just say yes. And so, but when he got in there, all she did is she said, bend down. And he did. And she rubbed his hair, and it was curly. And she said, we don't have enough curly hair in the family. You'll be all right.
Well, on that note, I want to thank our guests, Jim Perdue, and also extend our condolences as well. Missy McLaughlin, friend of 38 years of Madeline Perdue, as well as Lewis Riley, an Eastern Shore fixture, is former Secretary of Agriculture in Maryland and also a member of the state legislature. You've been listening to Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush, and thanks for listening.
This has been Delmarva Today, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. Chris Rank produces and is our audio engineer. Our volunteer producers are Penny Hartman, Kathleen Grout, and Jim White. Don Rush is your host. For podcasts, visit our website, delmarvapublicradio.net, or subscribe to the Delmarva Today podcast in iTunes. Delmarva Today can now be seen on PAC 14, To view the schedule, visit the Daily Times or visit pac14.org.